Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. Yep, the regular crew here on this Tuesday. Now, our normal first hour Tuesday guest won't be able to join us because he's occupied right now. As a matter of fact, he's calling the he's doing the play-by-play for the first three innings and the final three innings of the Auburn-Florida A&M baseball game. It is the final midweek home game for Auburn baseball for this season. You know, hard to wrap your head around that. But Auburn had just jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the bottom half of the second inning. So we'll keep you updated on that. Andy Burcham, yes. We'll see if we can get Andy to join us a little later this week. But, yeah, he's busy on a beautiful day for baseball. It's a beautiful day for anything outside. Just an absolutely gorgeous day. A little warmer than yesterday. Temperatures in the low to mid-70s today. So I would encourage you, you know, if you're looking for something to do, I believe younger son and his wife and our granddaughter are going to head over to the ballpark when she wakes up from her nap. Granddaughter, not daughter-in-law. Of course, you may be taking a nap too, but they were going to head over to the ballpark, and you could head over and check it out as well. Auburn, Florida A&M, like I said, Tigers will head to Baton Rouge this weekend as they try to, you know, turn around what has been just an awful start in SEC play as they're into the second half of play. All right, it is a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. There is a lot going on. The portal continues to just spin. Yesterday, we were talking about big positive news for Auburn with additions of two defensive linemen. Well, today, it is not so positive news with the loss of two young cornerbacks.
And we talked about Colton Hood previously. We had talked about that since the rumors surfaced, what, Friday?
Yeah, last Thursday or Friday.
That Colton Hood could be headed to the transfer portal, and that's, I mean, it's surprising because he seemed like someone who had emerged as a real candidate for playing time.
Oh, he was going to get playing time.
But people who emerge as candidates for playing time could also be targets elsewhere, and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So, yeah, Colton Hood seemingly reopening his recruitment, and that's a spot where Auburn's going to have to stretch and figure out either who internally moves up and becomes a candidate for those snaps, or do they go into the portal themselves and find somebody who makes sense as an addition to the roster.
And Tyler Scott also entering the transfer portal. Those are two redshirt freshman cornerbacks who got a lot of talk this spring, both of them having really good springs. Hood apparently led the team in interceptions throughout the spring. Tyler Scott really stepped up and was making a push for a good amount of playing time as well. So Auburn now a little thinner in an area where we had talked about, man, what an abundance of talent there was. There's still some talent there, but now I'm trying to figure this may mean J.C. Hart may be a second team cornerback right now.
Right now. I mean, I do wonder if Auburn reacts to
these
two moves.
I think Auburn's looking. Auburn's been, and you know, Auburn's been mentioned with a couple of defensive backs in the portal, and there's a reason for that.
And that's
is the reason.
That's not to write off J.C. Hart possibly being part of the
depth
chart.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, Hugh Freeze talked about J.C. Hart and saying the potential is nearly limitless. The sky is the ceiling for him, and he's still learning to be a defensive back.
But there's a lot of defensive backs in the portal, and a lot of activity still happening. The portal's still open right now, so if you make a move, it might cause an adjustment elsewhere on the roster. But yeah, no, the Colton Hood news since Friday has stood out among the rumored portal entries for Auburn because he seemed like somebody who had a clear place on the two deep and maybe was moving into.
He was really pushing for a starting spot.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to defer to you on that one because of the depth chart, but I mean that's what it looked like from over here. And so to see Colton Hood jump into the portal, it's a little bit surprising because it doesn't fit the profile of pretty much everyone else Auburn has lost to the portal, who looked to be guys who were who were further down the depth chart or were less of a had seemed like less of a priority for Auburn during spring practice. But Colton Hood, and then on top of that, Colton Hood's also a legacy, which you can factor in
right
as well too. You know,
yeah, his uncle now, he's not the son of, he's the nephew of Roderick Hood.
But a guy that, you know, a last name people remember from right. from history as well. But it's a that one's a little disappointing. And I guess you have to remember, we're seeing in basketball a lot of guys dropping out of the portal and returning to their previous school. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much we'll see of that in football, and I don't want to close the door, but of everyone who's gone into the portal so far, the one that it feels like Auburn, or I guess the two that it feels like Auburn might make a real push to keep would be the two that you just named,
yep,
Colton Hood
the
and Tyler
two
Scott.
Today. Yep. All right, so we'll talk about that. We'd love to hear from you. We'll keep you updated on baseball. We'll talk about basketball. Auburn is going to get a visit from a guy that we talked about a couple of days ago in basketball.
I would say just briefly, too, on the other two guys, like Auburn is also going to be in competition with schools, I would think, for both Tyler Scott and
yes,
Colton.
But I would say the fact that they've entered the portal is not good news because Auburn has been trying to keep those players from entering the portal.
You're right. You're at a disadvantage now. It's easier to keep them before they get into the portal.
Right.
But Auburn can still make a case for either of those guys. But now they're competing with open recruitments.
All right. And we'll talk whatever you would like. We are going to open the phone lines here in just a second once I give you the numbers and tell you that the Drive Hotline is sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And let's get to the Drive Hotline, and we'll jump right in with Ed up first. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Bill. Is that Dan that here?
Yeah, how you doing, Ed?
I'm doing fine. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
I was just going to comment on just a couple of things on basketball as far as, I talked with Doug the other day about this, but most of the Auburn people that I know, I think we hated losing Trey Donaldson a little more than Aiden Holloway, but I don't know anybody that's got any hatred. Now, you know, when he shows up at Neville Arena, he's going to get ragged.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be fun, but you know, it's all in fun. Auburn people,
hopefully it is.
Know.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, be honest with me, would you rather have him or Pegues?
Oh, no, I think that a team...
there's no question.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance Aiden Holloway still develops into the kind of player people thought he was going to be coming out of high school. But if you're talking about all you can really do... I mean, all you can do in college basketball now is plan for next year. Everyone can leave, everyone can go pro, a million things can happen. And so if you're just trying to win next year, I think there's no question you'd rather have J.P. Pegues than Aiden Holloway.
Yeah, and exactly, and you know, college ball, and I know y'all saw the announcement today, or it might have been yesterday, from the NCAA that it's, you know, free transfer anytime,
mm-hmm.
and they might get to where, you know, well, hey, it's like Major League Baseball, you know, that you can transfer in the middle of the season, you know, if a team needs you, because, well, he'll make more money. Which I'm kind of kidding about that, but
no, but you know, Ed,
I
really think in the case of Aiden Holloway, like I think it, I understand why he would leave, especially if things had soured over the last couple of months, which it sounds like that was the case. I understand why he would
struggling. Yeah.
I understand why he would look at a place like Alabama, whether or not Mark Sears comes back as a good fit, you know, not just in the short term, but maybe even in the long term as a yeah. place for him to develop. And I understand why Auburn would go pursue other options. You know, the only thing that's disappointing about, like, it makes sense on practically every front. The remarks on the way out, I think, are unfortunate.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be done.
Yeah, I feel that way when Auburn brings a kid in too. Like, you probably don't want someone, you know, it's like you don't want someone still hung up on their ex, right? Like, you don't want, and no one wants to sound jilted, and it's a bad look. And I just think that's where, you know, I think talking negatively about your previous school can very easily, even if you're justified, like even if you have good reason to.
Yeah, just it's better to be quiet. It's better not to say anything bad than to burn bridges.
The optics, the optics can look
if
bad.
If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. That's what my mom always used to tell me.
Yeah, the optics can look bad in the short term, and it can get even worse over time.
Well, we all know this also. That type of a profile is going to follow you into the pros. You look at, you know, nobody wants a problem in their locker room. But, I mean, college
and when you blame, and I'll tell you the other thing, Ed, is when you blame the previous coach for things going wrong, or you blame the situation you were in and avoid accountability. You know, I want to be gentle about this, but I would say that's, you know, a way to describe it. It has to work at the next school, right? It better work here because you know, at some point
you're going to get no easier.
Well, some point you run out of fingers to point, right? Like at some point it's
well, when you've been at five schools in 5 years, it better go well at this one.
What is it? You know, when everybody says it might just be you, but college ball as a whole, it's almost gotten to, like, you know, pick up basketball at the YMCA. You know, you just, hey, I'll take him.
The roster movement year to year, there's very little.
That's crazy.
It's very little continuity. Yeah. I mean, that's what's special about this Auburn team, this upcoming season, is how many of the players they're bringing back.
Basketball,
yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, how many of the players they're bringing back? You know what I mean? It's amazing. And that's in an era where that just doesn't happen very much.
And I know y'all saw, and I'll let you go here in a second, but I know y'all saw it's a very nice article about Dylan Cardwell talked about. He came back because he loves Auburn.
And yeah, there's no question about that. Yeah.
And I'll let you go, I'm really pleased with Bleedy, Crawford, and Rakes.
Mm-hmm.
Question. All three of those trends. I think Auburn did. That fills some big needs. And if we have to go out and get another DB, you know, we'll get one. But Crime Dog, he'll keep us. We'll be all right. War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate the call, Ed. Yep. I mean, it is. It really has made an unbelievable difference in this job right here. I mean, we were never talking about basketball, regardless. I mean, if you have a great season, you still weren't talking about it much at the end of April. And football, all right, spring training's over. There wouldn't be much news going on in football because you'd just be off finishing up the semester and waiting for the summer workouts to start. The transfer portal has changed everything.
Well, especially if you're not inclined to follow professional sports, right? Like if you're not following the NBA and NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball
MLB
season.
And,
yeah, I mean,
right.
It is injected an event cycle into the college football and college basketball timeline. It's made this. I mean, March and April are the most important months of the year for roster construction in college basketball, which wasn't the case. You know, the 60 days immediately following the end of your season were not. I mean, remember, coaches used to take vacations and things right after the season was over. And now you don't have any time for that. I mean, maybe late in the summer, if you have a roster and you feel good about it, you can take a couple of weeks before the term starts. But the notion of, you know, the thought of an off season that gave you a break right after the regular season, like, that's over because you have because you have to go find your players and you have to recruit, you have to re-recruit the ones that you had from this year that you want to bring back, and you have to go find replacements for everyone you're losing. And it's a busy time. There's still a lot of high profile players in the portal now. There are still a lot of places that are going to, what we saw from Ole Miss this past year. Remember how it was Chris Beard shows up and maybe there's two or three holdovers, but you're going out and getting five, six, seven portal contributors.
Does Kentucky have a player yet? I don't think there's a commitment yet to Kentucky.
I'm not sure.
There wasn't yesterday.
For some reason, I thought Mark Pope landed somebody.
Maybe he got somebody yesterday.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought he's they're in the mix. I know Arkansas is slowly but surely building a roster under Calipari, but no, I think a lot of coaches are gonna look. It's gonna resemble what Chris Beard did at Ole Miss this past year, where they're going to have maybe a couple of freshmen, maybe a couple of holdovers, but so much of the production is going to be the best players they could go find in the transfer portal as they start over. And, Dusty May's doing that with players including Trey Donaldson at Michigan.
Oh, yeah. And man, so he's loading up.
He's loading up. Yeah, he's got Wolf as well, the big from Yale that Auburn saw in the NCAA tournament. He's going to follow he's going to go he's going to go to Michigan to play for Dusty May. So, yeah, I think it's changed how you approach the off season. It's changed how you approach, it's changed everything about the sport. And I think it is a little bit unfortunate that it's really like the havoc it has brought to mid-major college basketball, because you're also losing guys that are really productive and want to move up a level. I mean, those rosters, it more closely resembles junior college basketball than ever before, because you'll be a mid-major, and whether you were good or bad last year, there's a chance that you lose everyone. There's a chance that you bring back virtually nothing from last year's team, because your worst players may have gone elsewhere to find more playing time, and your best players might have jumped up a level that, might be doing the thing that JP Pegues is doing, and that guys like Jani Broome and Mark Sears and Grant Nelson have done so successfully, leaving mid-major basketball to come to the SEC and become stars. Dalton Knecht, guys that were a lot of the best players in the SEC last year were guys who jumped up after succeeding at the mid-major level. That's the hope behind JP Pegues, is that he's going to join that list of the best guys to come into the SEC and carry over their success from mid-major basketball into the conference.
And another player from a small school is right now scheduled to visit Auburn next week. We'll talk about that and more, and we'll take a look at the roster now after some of the shakeups. The depth all of a sudden looks a lot better up front defensively, and the secondary, it's a different story. Stick with us. Come on in and join us, as a matter of fact. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, or text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840. We're back with more here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star...
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Before we get to the phones, Terry, hang on just a second. I got a personal request here. I've known this guy and his dad for a long time. Blake Long and his father, as a matter of fact, Larry, have been pressure washing, doing some stuff for us for years and years, since back in the day when his dad used to pressure wash Kmart when my wife worked at Kmart. And from that, he was very friendly, and they did some work for us. Unfortunately, Larry passed away, and Blake has been great. He's done quite a few things for me, and I was looking to get in touch with him. I can't seem to find him, and I hope he's okay. But if anybody knows Blake Long, who had Long's Exterior Pressure Washing,
Just pass word along, Bill Cameron.
Yeah, you can call here and let us, just to let me know. I just want to make sure that he's okay. And if he is, I'd love for him to help us out again. But I mean, I really, really like the guy. He's very friendly. Just one of the nicest guys. And I worried a little bit about him. Tried to call. I had a couple of numbers that, and folks change their phone numbers, but I had no way of getting in touch with him. So if anybody does know how I could get in touch with Blake Long, just please let me know. All right, let's get back to sports here, because it is a crazy day. I was just looking at the depth chart, and I believe, now Auburn's got a couple of guys they could move over and work some at corner, but I believe the only corners that Auburn has on the roster right now would be your projected starters in Kayan Lee and Keontae Scott. And behind them would be J.C. Hart, who's a redshirt freshman, Antonio Kite, who is the transfer from Alabama, who is a true sophomore, and then true freshman Jay Crawford. I think that's it at corner. So Auburn really has a need at corner with Colton Hood and Tyler Scott entering the portal.
And Kite was a borderline top 10 at his position guy coming out of high school. You know, highly right. touted in-state recruit Anniston, I believe where he's from originally. Somebody that Auburn prioritized when he got into the portal and came in. You know,
it's funny. He was a guy that it's perfectly fine for. It's funny. It's always, if you're on the receiving end of the transfer portal, it's great. When they're leaving you, it's like, oh, this thing's crap. I heard today. The sports has just gone to hell because of this transfer portal, because of Aiden Holloway, Colton Hood, and Todd Scott. Now, on the other hand, it was great when Auburn picked up the three defensive guys, interior guys.
I'll say this about Colton Hood. I had heard, just like you and just like everybody else, I had heard good things about the spring that Colton Hood was having.
Oh, yeah, I'd heard great things.
If you hadn't heard good things about the spring he was having, the arrival of a player like Antonio Kite, a player that played for Charles
Kelly. Yeah,
if
there hadn't been spring practice and people could have just projected because of high school rankings.
Right, well, not just yes. High school rankings.
But, I mean, heard nothing that said that Kite was pushing Colton Hood.
How about that? Not just high school rankings, but also the fact that this is a guy that Hugh Freeze and Charles Kelly went out and recruited. Colton Hood was somebody that they inherited, correct?
Colton Hood was a signee last year.
Okay, Colton Hood was a signee, right. So Colton Hood was a signee last year. So they're both Hugh Freeze signees.
That's what's interesting.
Although it is reuniting a guy with, you know,
right,
a guy
with Charles Kelly.
For Charles Kelly.
Who was recruited by Kelly. Yeah, what's interesting, and go ahead and let's pull Terry in as we bring him in. That is, Auburn's down to 9 redshirt freshmen from Hugh Freeze's first class. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Good, guys. How's it going today?
Pretty good.
Good. If my memory's a little vague on this, I'm sorry, but wasn't the former Auburn player, Auburn coach, James Willis left Auburn to go to Alabama?
Yes, he did.
Back early in the Saban there?
Yeah, he sure did.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I thought that happened, but I wasn't too terribly sure. And that, I remember how hard. Now, where is he at now, Bill?
I do not know where James is now.
Okay. Because that
he had moved on to a couple of spots after that, so.
Because it seemed like he was at Baylor at one time, but
yeah, he was somewhere out. I know he was somewhere out in Texas. I just sort of lost track.
Because that was a bridge that was burned, and kind of like what Aiden Holloway. But Aiden Holloway may be a little more volatile because of the crowd he's going to face at the Coliseum.
Wikipedia has James Willis's last professional coaching job. They got him with the Saints until 2017. As a linebackers coach but yeah, no guy from
2017, but that's the last thing they have.
Last thing they have in Wikipedia is that he was a linebackers coach with the Saints as recently as 2017. Not sure what he's up to now. Now I think if Aiden Holloway finds a home at Alabama, just like we were saying earlier in the show, I think there's a chance that he can, he can tap into what made him such a special prospect. In the first place, one of the most highly touted guys Auburn has ever signed out of high school. We'll see in Alabama how much of the problem wasn't external, right? How much of it wasn't around, the environment around Aiden Holloway and the coaching staff and the offense and the teammates, it'll give him it's a fresh start, and it's also I think it's a chance to prove that some of the stuff he said in the article. Was true, right? It's a chance for him to say, I was in the wrong situation. I can come back and bounce back. If it doesn't work at Alabama, it's like I said, you eventually you run out of fingers to point.
This thing I can't understand. If Mark Sears come back, he's pretty much a backup, isn't he?
I would think, unless one of them is going to play the two.
Yeah, Bama just landed somebody else as a guard. Or no, who's coming back? Somebody from Alabama just announced in the last 24 hours that they're on their way back. I want to say it was the guard who hit some shots in the who missed some time. Reitzel.
Oh yeah,
He's coming back. He was. I guess he was either in the portal or in the draft. And Latrell Reitzel Jr., who hit some shots for them in the NCAA tournament, is going to be back for Alabama this year. No, I would agree with you, Terry. I think if Mark Sears comes back, Holloway looks like the backup point guard who could maybe play a little bit off ball. But like we were saying, was it yesterday we looked it up and Sears played 34-35 minutes a game in conference play last year. It's not like there's a ton of time available for his backup, but it would give Aiden Holloway a chance to learn the system. I mean, depending on how much they need him, you could even talk about a redshirt year to preserve his eligibility, and then he could step in as a key part of the offense. He could serve as Mark Sears' insurance for Alabama, and then step in once Mark Sears graduates.
Boy, that's burning a lot of bridges to be insurance.
Yep, you're right.
I want to ask you guys a baseball question. I asked you guys.
But he does. Well, hold on before we move on, though. It is worth pointing out he is staying. I mean, there are two teams right now that look to be a cut above the rest of the SEC. If you look at the rosters, and I would say, you know, Auburn probably has a leg up on Alabama.
Yeah, because Alabama still doesn't have Sears and Grant Nelson back yet.
As long as you don't know the status of Sears and Nelson, you'd say Auburn's probably one, Bama's two, and then the rest of the league is competing at the moment to build rosters that can challenge that. So Aiden Holloway is, you know, he picked a place where he's staying at the top of the league. Like you were saying yesterday, he could have probably pulled a Trey Donaldson and found a school that is starting over. New coach going into the portal for his top seven, top eight. You know, I imagine Mark Byington at Vandy, you know, coming in from James Madison. I imagine he would have been very interested in an Aiden Holloway type acquisition. Instead, Aiden's going to a place that's probably going to be a preseason top 10 team, top 15 team, one of the co-favorites potentially to win the conference.
Yeah, I just think that's a lot of bridges to burn to be insurance policy for a guy that's. I wouldn't be surprised. But the other guy would be surprised, Nels. I think he's more of an NBA fit than Sears. So,
yeah, I do too. I do too. What's your baseball question?
I asked you guys a few weeks ago about the throwing over to first. Was there any other rule changes this year? I didn't realize that was a permanent rule. I thought that was just a thing they were trying out.
Oh, no. In Major League Baseball, rule changes for this year? I'm trying to think if there were any more.
No, I mean, I think they kept the ghost runner. On second for extra innings.
I don't like that either.
The bases are still a little bit larger.
Yeah, and they have the limited number of pickoff attempts and the pitch clock. And I think that's just about it.
Yeah,
Terry.
I think so too.
Permanent ghost runners sound a lot like something in backyard baseball.
It does. It really does.
But I mean they want to speed up the extra. They don't like the idea of extra inning games going really long in the regular season, I guess, because of the way it can tax all the participants involved. Right. So it's a way. You know, I mean if you're finding some gimmicky way to get the game over after nine innings more quickly, I think there are probably worse things you could. At least they're not starting extra innings with the bases loaded, right? I guess
gimmicky
that's
the word I would use, Dan. Appreciate it, guys. You have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Terry. All right, we'll get
to
our.
It's akin to like a shootout in the NHL. You know, yeah. Sort of like they have to
try to speed it up,
speed it up and avoid a tie and hand somebody a win. But it's. I mean, I think that Major League Baseball shows you that. You know, when they don't do it in the postseason, they show you it's probably not the way to decide super high-profile games anyway, since they get rid of it in the postseason.
That's right.
But it's a way to
for the ones that really matter, we won't do that. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break.
Did you see the tweet from the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
This weekend where it was like 82-game regular season. Doesn't matter, but now we're in the play. It was like an official account from an NBA team saying like the regular season doesn't matter, and I don't know, it was wild.
Well, as long as you. Can make it to the playoffs. That's the only thing that matters. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break.
One of the 24 teams that makes it.
Yeah, that's right. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390, here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, I didn't hear much of what Terry's conversation was. I had a lot of static over here on this end. What was he saying about James Willis?
Now, he was just asking where Willis was, saying wasn't he a guy that went from Auburn to Alabama? And yes, he did.
As a player?
No, as a coach.
Okay, that's why I didn't understand. Yeah, okay, as a coach. Well, that ain't a big deal, is it?
No, I mean, there were a lot of people who were not thrilled when that happened, but...
Was it especially because he'd formerly been an Auburn Former player, right?
that was a coach and then left.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think people understand. Hey, you got to pay the rent, right? I mean, that's I would hope so. I don't think Charles Kelly caught much. I mean, maybe he did.
He'd been at quite a few places before he went to Alabama, and then went to Colorado in between. But
so what I sense is, if you're at Auburn, you can't go to Alabama. But if you're Alabama, you can't go to Auburn.
Sure. I mean, I think that's what I was saying. It all depends on if you're on the giving or receiving. And if you're losing somebody, no, you don't want to lose them to Alabama. But if you got a chance to get one, absolutely, you want to get
them. If you're going to say, I mean,
I think that's the way it is everywhere.
And Spectre, I didn't love the stuff Aiden Holloway said on the way out.
No,
but
not
the
at
fact
all.
But the fact that Aiden Holloway picked Alabama didn't bother me at all. And I think for people who are bothered by it, there is just a couple of years ago, Auburn took Katie Johnson right from Georgia,
right?
A team Auburn plays twice a year. You know, a team that we call a rival in every sport, and yet it felt like you happily,
of course,
happily
of course, accept. Georgia was bad.
That helps. That helps. You're right.
And Auburn was better.
You happily accept from your rival, but it's some sort of traitorous act for a player. I don't know. It feels uneven, Spectre.
Yeah, well, you can't have it both ways, I guess, because we had Marshall came from Georgia. What he did.
That's right. Auburn. Yeah, I mean, that's it. These days, you're just going to have to be ready for it. I mean, players since they have the ability to leave and go anywhere and play, there just aren't that many kids that grew up their lifelong dream was to play at school A, and if things don't work out, they'll stick around for a little while. I mean, most kids just want that opportunity for playing time or the best situation for them, either financially or depth chart wise or whatever. And if they don't get it where they go, they can pack up and go anywhere, including to your arch rival.
Quite a few Georgia to Auburn transfers over the last decade or so. There were multiple players on that. You had the 2013 team. You had the
well take this one into consideration. Pat Dye was a Georgia player and was an Alabama coach, and he ended up coaching at Auburn.
Yeah, you used to have that Auburn-Georgia connection with coaches, especially Vince Dooley. Who was the longtime defensive coordinator?
You still have a little bit of that, right?
At Georgia.
Kirby spent some time here? Or is that not right? Who am I thinking of? I might be thinking of somebody.
No, Muschamp.
That's right. Muschamp was a Georgia guy who was here.
Yep.
And Bobo. Mm-hmm. For that matter, also a former,
right.
former Auburn coordinator.
Irk Russell's the guy that I was trying to think of.
Well, way back in the day. Getting back to the Holloway thing, you know what psychological warfare is, right? We're fixing to get a basketball version of that.
Oh, yeah.
Chad Baker, you know how he is on the court. He talks some trash on the court,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, if Holloway ends up being the guard for Alabama when he comes to Auburn, you're going to see some trash talking.
Well, I got a feeling that's going to be more heated than usual.
Yeah, he's going to be in his face for sure. Well, anyway, Dan, did you watch or go to Talladega?
I did not watch or go to Talladega, unfortunately. I had stuff going on Sunday. I do know some people who went.
Ferg went, didn't he?
Yeah, Ferg went. A Georgia writer that we've had on the show a couple times, Justin Hill. Or Jordan Hill has went. Justin Lee from the Observer from the OA News went. So
did you hear about your driver?
No, what did he do? How my boy Brad do?
He was in a position to win, and he got the push that he needed, but McDowell came down the track and tried to block him, and he hit him in the corner. And that turned McDowell around, and it also turned BK around. So, he did not win, and he was in a position to win. So, that's 108.
I did see that he's in the playoffs now, though. Like, he finished well enough. He finished high enough to get into the playoff standings. But, yeah, no, he needs to seal the deal on one of these things.
Yeah, you're talking points-wise, yeah. A win solidifies it for sure. Puts you up in the standings. But other than that, there was something else I wanted to talk to y'all about.
And so, football transfers, maybe?
And the Reddick victory was significant, right? Because that's the Jordan team?
Yeah, 24-11. I'm 23-11. I'm sorry, not 24-11.
Yeah, the Jordan Toyota team is, I don't know how many they've won since they were established in this thing. So that's a nice pickup for them.
Jordan was
in the house. I don't know if you saw the. I'm sure they showed it a couple of times on television.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I feel like when Michael Jordan goes to one of these things.
Yeah, he can't escape cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I saw all that crap. Yeah, I saw it all. But anyway, if I think about it, I'll call you guys back.
Appreciate it, Specter. 334-321-1390. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here on this Tuesday. Jake Crane will be joining us at the bottom of hour number two. Baseball.
We could call Andy right now, but he's busy.
Well, I don't know. It's Brad's turn right now. Okay, Brad's doing the play-by. Andy, you know, Andy sometimes grabs a snack. It's 8-0 Auburn in the fifth last time I looked. So things going pretty well against the Florida A&M team. It's not bad. I mean, they're 15-3 in the SWAC. So hopefully Auburn can get some confidence. They need it. My goodness. I mean, they need to get healthy too. I mean, they don't have Ike Irish or Bobby Pierce, Mason Mainers, in the lineup today. I mean, I don't know if those guys could have gone. You probably just want to make sure they're as healthy as possible for the trip to Baton Rouge this weekend. 334-321-1390. Who have we got?
John
is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, I was just following up on a James Willis debate. The thing about James Willis, he left Auburn taking a lateral position. He went from linebacker's coach to linebacker's coach. And he helped save and poach a couple of kids that Auburn was recruiting out of the Mobile area, I believe. And then he was only there for a year or two. So that was just a straight-for-profit move on his part and sold out the university where he attended. That's why we hate James Wills.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do remember that he was called Benedict Willis for as long as I can recall.
At least we're past all that, though, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no, like Vince Dooley, nobody has a, you know, problem or with going to any other school.
Oh, no, when you're moving up.
Yeah, when you're going to advance your career, that's one thing. But to take a lateral position and just for the money and sell out your university and strengthen the other team's, you know, program at the expense of your own is kind of crappy, in my opinion. But that's all I got. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, John. Not nice to get a little, you know, update as to why. And yeah, I hadn't forgotten those points, but he's right on it. He's right on all of them.
In the case of Holloway, though, it does sound like the relationship had sort. I mean, right? Things had chilled.
Well, his body language. He didn't look very happy toward the end. And I mean, when things aren't going well for a player, it's tough to expect them to stay happy.
It's unfortunate that you couldn't make it work here, but you know, it's probably better for all parties involved. They go their separate ways, even if they don't go that separate. Since Holloway's staying in the state and joining the Iron Bowl rivalry from the other side.
We'll get one more before our final break of hour number one. And Dak is up next. Hey, Dak.
What's up, Dak?
Hey, guys. Good to hear your voice today. Great show, as usual. What's been the talk about? I know the Holloway situation's been most of the talk.
Today it's more been Colton Hood and Tyler Scott into the portal. I mean, yeah, a day after adding, you know, tremendous depth on the defensive front, all of a sudden the back end has taken a big hit. Yeah. And Auburn needs to get a corner. I mean, I know – you know, we've heard that Auburn has been mentioned as contacting Cromani McClain from Colorado. Auburn obviously is very interested in Anquan Fagans, whose older brother Traquan Fagans is in the portal from USC. And, you know, there were people going, well, Auburn doesn't really have need for the – Auburn definitely has need for another cornerback now.
Now the two corners that went into the portal today, Hood and Rogers.
Scott.
Hood and Scott, sorry. We are – as far as we understand, they cannot go to an SEC school and
– they cannot transfer and play at an SEC school this fall.
They would not be eligible immediately if they went in the – if they stayed in the SEC.
I've seen a post. Phillip Dukes, who used to be there with Auburn Undercover, but is now with – now has moved up to a national level, is saying look for Colton Hood to go to Colorado and have his younger brother running back follow him to Colorado.
Interesting. And Colorado just lost a couple.
Cromani McClain.
Colorado just lost a couple of defensive backs into the portal. And as I understand now, Colorado has exactly one scholarship running back on the team
right.
going into the spring game on Saturday. They just got one from Ohio State as well, but they've lost, I think it's up to 21 or 23 players
it is
from Colorado have gone into the portal.
It's crazy keeping up. I think Auburn's had 19 now since the start of last year.
Guys, if I may, can I comment on the James Willis situation?
Yeah, sure.
So I didn't know what everybody's been talking about here lately. I heard the comment the other day about James, and then I just heard it a second ago. But now I know the backstory of that. And so I wished everybody knew the true story behind all that. If you remember, in between coaches, I keep calling him Coach Willis, James was still here when we didn't have a head coach and he was doing the recruiting. All right? And when they hired the coach to come in, they wouldn't pay him the bonus that everybody else got paid. And he did everything the right way trying to get his bonus, and they wouldn't pay him. And so along that same time is when Saban called him. So there's always a reason for everything.
Sure.
And James Willis is an Auburn man. I don't care what anybody says. And he was a great teammate of mine. And, I didn't know when it was said last week, I'm going, what in the world did James Willis do wrong? You know, and
it's a perception of fans seeing him make what appeared to be a lateral move. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew he went to Alabama. But yeah, it had to do with that bonus that all the other coaches got that went the ones that even got fired and left got, but he didn't get.
Huh.
And I remember when that was going on. And in the middle of it is when Saban called him and he gave them the opportunity, according to James, to pay it, and they didn't. So that's why he took the high road.
Appreciate the update, Dak.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, guys, y'all have a good one.
All right. We will get to our final break here of hour number one. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Tuesday. I think Spector's back with us. Hey, Spector.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Dak. I am sure glad he called in because, you know, there's always, when it comes to Auburn and what goes on there, there's always a backstory that we're never privy to.
Oh, you're right about that. I mean, there are going to be things that aren't made public for one reason or another for somebody's benefit or the other.
I know it drove me nuts during the late 90s and up through the 2000s what went on with Terry Bowden and Bobby Lauder and Jimmy Rain and Tommy Tuberville, what was going on there. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's always a backstory that we're not privy to. And I, you know, my opinion, of course, this is my opinion, they ought to take the Lauder name off the business building. And that was when Lauder quit, I mean, you saw the dust settle when Lauder quit, when he was done with it. And you ain't hear much of Jimmy Rain anymore either. But, you know, I'm just glad he called in and told that story about James Willis, because I heard that on the line about James Willis, and I'm sitting here scratching, man, what the world's going on with James Willis?
Well, I mean, it was the perception that fans had that why would you leave one place for the same job at your arch rival's place and take a couple of recruits? That's the way it looked, and those things, you know. Who's going to talk about that? And, you know, nobody's going to come out and say, well, here's the reason money-wise and things like that.
That was about the same time. I think my memory ain't as good as it used to be. But at the same time, that Tuberville left.
Yeah, that was around then. I believe that's right. I believe he was on one staff and wasn't retained or left when the other staff came in.
Well, music. So, yeah. I'm glad that was cleared up by Dak.
All right. Appreciate the call, Spector. All right. We are halfway done. Don't forget, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of hour number two, but we're wide open until then. 334-321-1390. Back in a few here on the Tuesday Drive.
Auburn, the sports. sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into the hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Quite a few things to talk about, and we'll get to some of them momentarily. First, let me let you know that hour number two of the Drive brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. And I said, love for you to join in. We're wide open until the bottom of the hour when Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us. And you can call us on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's see. We normally have Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, on with us in the first hour, but he's over at the ballpark.
Voicing the Auburn Tigers.
He's getting ready to. Brad's got one more half inning as Auburn is batting in the bottom of the sixth and leading Florida A&M 9-1. The good news, really good news for Auburn is that Chase Alsup started and went five innings, allowing just two hits and one walk, eight strikeouts, against a Florida A&M team that came in hitting .299 as a team. So that is the best news, I think, that has come out of this ball game. Auburn scoring 9-1 sure doesn't hurt either after they struggled offensive this past week at Mississippi State. So we'll see if we can get Andy on with us a little later on this week. What we've been talking about, a lot more of the transfer portal. Sure, we'd love to get your thoughts if you haven't voiced them yet on the Aiden Holloway transfer to Alabama. But today, Auburn seeing two football players entering the portal, Colton Hood and Tyler Scott, both young redshirt freshman cornerbacks entering the portal. And also saw there was a report a little while ago, someone on a message board asking, would Auburn be fighting to retain these players? And the response was, the fight's over. Yeah. The fight happened before they entered the portal.
I mean, I think there are probably negotiations that are taking place in the case of some of these players before they decide to go into the portal, in case it's a play for leverage. But once you go in, I mean, I think the school also has to start focusing on what are they going to do on the chance that you leave. I would expect, I think that if Auburn had held on to every defensive back that they had when the portal opened, if Auburn had been able to keep the whole room together, I don't know if they necessarily would have been looking to add a veteran addition. Maybe one.
Yeah, maybe a veteran that could play either corner or nickel.
But now,
I think you definitely need somebody because Colton Hood and Tyler Scott were probably the numbers 3 and 4 cornerbacks.
I mean,
out of the spring.
At the moment, you would say Keontae and
Kay and Lee.
And
then behind them, I'd
Champ
say
Anthony's mostly a slot.
Champ Anthony's been a nickel.
He's been that slot
corner.
I mean, I suppose they could try Champ outside, but we haven't seen that at any point, in his career.
Your next now, guys are J.C. Hart and Antonio Kite.
Right. Now. You know, the defensive back brought in from Alabama last year who played for Charles Kelly at Alabama, and then you've also got the second year local product, J.C. Hart. Both of those guys, it would be a big step for them, to jump in. I think some folks thought so. I think Kite was a guy people thought had penciled in for playing time when he arrived, but it was strong springs by Colton Hood and Tyler Scott that disrupted that a little bit. But yeah, we'll see what Auburn does in the portal. I would think maybe. And there are a lot of defensive backs out there in the transfer portal.
Well,
right
a couple, too, so. And I mentioned a couple that Auburn has. It has been noted that Auburn has been in contact with Kermani McClain, the former Colorado corner. Tre'Quan Fagan's the former Alabama and USC. Man, USC's had an awful lot of guys that have gone there and have left within a year. And Fagan's one of those guys. He transferred to USC last year, played there for the Trojans this past year, and back in the transfer portal. Auburn is definitely, oh man, Auburn is recruiting his younger brother very, very hard. Anquan Fagan's the safety from Thompson. That's, of course, where Tre'Quan was from. So it'll be interesting to see if Auburn tries to see if they can get Tre'Quan in and would love to add his younger brother as a commitment.
Will Backus wrote a piece for CBSSports.com chronicling the winners and losers after the first week of the transfer portal, and he talked about Colorado being both a winner and a loser because Colorado's been able to land some high-profile pieces from the transfer portal. I think they got the edge rusher from Pittsburgh that people thought was maybe the top edge rusher that anybody went into. We mentioned there was a running back from Ohio State, had a big freshman year, has been sort of bypassed on the depth chart. They've added some players on the line of scrimmage. They've also lost 21, 22 players, and while there weren't very many of them that projected as starters, a lot of them were key depth pieces. And Colorado last year was a team that struggled deeper into games because while they had some great starters, some of the pieces beyond the starters were somewhat questionable. So it's going to be it looks like it could be another up and down season for Deion. Auburn, you just mentioned, is somebody they've also lost numbers, but
I think Auburn was ranked in the top 10.
But they've added some pieces that I mean if you look at where Auburn was coming out of spring, I mean until today you'd sort of question how much playing time the players going into the portal were looking like they were going to receive. Colton Hood and Tyler Scott. That changes a little bit because those both look like they look like rotation pieces at least on the in the defensive secondary.
Yeah. So just yesterday we were talking about the additions that Auburn had made there, the defensive front, adding Philip Bleedy and Isaiah Rakes as well as Kieron Crawford yesterday. So all of a sudden the front looks much better depth wise, and now the back end. Let me see. Let me.
And I feel, you know,
quickly,
I feel
three,
awful
six,
for the. And it's the nature of the game, Bill. But the loss of Kieron Crawford has just got to be a brutal one for the Arkansas State folks, right?
Because they find a guy from Memphis who has been a basketball player. They help develop him, and he leads the team in tackles for loss and sacks. And his thanks is thanks. I'm moving to the SEC.
Well, you do get an excellent season out of him. It's not as though it's all potential when he leaves, and you have nothing to show for it. But you're right. I mean, I think that they were probably thinking, and to lose him now, right? I think it would have been a different story if Kieron Crawford had left Arkansas State right after the season ended. You know, Arkansas State's, you know, it's an easier one to absorb. But now it is you totally understand. I mean, it's the nature of the game, and Kieron Crawford has an opportunity in the SEC, and it's tough to tell kids to turn that down, but it does, it blows a hole in that pass rush for a team that was they looked like one of the better teams in the Sun Belt coming out of spring practices, but that's got to be a tough one, and that's what more and more coaches are, you understand, I think at the Group of Five level, FCS level, like you could be developing this kid for someone else, like you could be. This kid might be moving on before his college career is over, and it's you got to brace yourself for that, and you always got to be working to have a. It's like ADs say, they always have a list, right, in case something happens.
Oh yeah,
I feel like you always have to have a list at every position in case you suddenly lose your starter.
All right, I'm just trying as we go. I have not read.
Bill's doing the calculations here.
Well, look, I'm scratching through and adding and subtracting guys on my depth chart before, because I don't want to redo it while there's still while it's still so fluid, but let's see. Correct, Mark. As I look through players that have entered the portal here in the second portal period for Auburn. Now we already knew J.D. Rim was going in, Jay Fair, Wesley Steiner. And then Hood and Scott. Is there anybody else that has entered the portal? I'm just trying to think back.
I think that covers it.
And then so those are the players that have entered the portal, and Auburn has added just the three that we talked about, right? Just the three defensive front guys? I think that's it. So they've had like five go in and add three. They've had a receiver, a linebacker, two defensive backs. Is that it? Just a receiver? Yeah, well, a receiver, three defensive backs because of Rim, who had announced he was going in. So a receiver, a linebacker, three defensive backs, and they have brought in three defensive linemen, probably a nose, a tackle, and an end. I believe
that checks out.
Yeah, I think that's it, and that would put Auburn at around 78 or so scholarships, I believe. So Auburn's still got room to add some more, but I think their needs obviously changing a little bit with the players that are going in.
And we might not be done seeing players going.
Oh, no, no, I don't think so.
I think this is going to be a busy week where, I mean, and again, if you're in line for a lot of playing time, it's a gamble to go in. But if you're not and you know that you're better off somewhere else, maybe get a head start on your new home.
Wonder, we also saw that a name familiar, should have been familiar to Auburn fans from recruiting a couple of years back, planning on entering the transfer portal from Alabama. That's Curtis Perry from Pike Road, the defensive lineman from Pike Road, who was another highly touted Alabama signee in the 2022 class.
That is a place where a young defensive lineman is a spot where you feel like Auburn, even if it's not necessarily, I mean, it's a guy like Curtis Perry is not proven college football production.
He would be a redshirt sophomore, the same as Antonio Kite, and the same, it's funny, the same class.
He's played 2 years of college football, right?
Yeah,
Perry has
redshirted and yes. And then was a backup.
Yes, and so that's not. I mean, it's you'd also be looking at what he was coming out of high school and the situation.
Coming out of high school, he was a very highly touted defensive lineman.
And it's not the easiest place in defensive line in Alabama. It's not the easiest place to get on the field because there's a lot of other options that are competing for snaps.
That's true. It's funny. I was just looking at that Alabama class, and the 2022 class included Traquan Fagans, Antonio Kite, and Curtis Perry, among others that have left the program.
And
it happens everywhere. I know that. I saw some lamentations earlier on. God, this is just terrible. Auburn's losing. But hey, everybody's having players, most of whom aren't getting prominent playing time, checking out the transfer.
Now, when you're losing guys who look like they're in line for playing time, it could be evidence of a problem. We were saying that after the first year Harsin left. Like, that was one of the concerning things, was that you had guys that looked like they were going to go into the season, or at least into the spring, as starters at multiple spots, who are opting to go into the transfer portal instead. And that's a concerning thing. I think Colton Hood's the closest thing to a starter.
Yes, that's true.
Auburn has lost in the portal so far, but he certainly.
I mean, Jay Fair was a guy who got a lot of playing time last year, but we didn't see him out there with the first bunch this spring much.
Yeah, looked like there was the possibility for him to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But Auburn has brought in a lot at his position and may not be done.
No, you're right. We're coming up on time for our first break, and again, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love for us to get into. I had not seen today's news from the state of Washington as far as a story that has sort of surfaced and then sort of gone back beneath the surface a little bit. But it looks like it's surfacing again from Seattle about a situation with the University of Washington and Kalen DeBoer's program their last season.
Yeah, there's an ongoing sexual assault case against a former University of Washington running back, Tybo Rogers, mm-hmm. who was.
Let's get into that. Let's get to break.
Yeah, I'll talk about it when we get back.
Yeah, because we're it's time for our first break here of hour number two. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
For air that's cool and clean, call
067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 519. Again, bottom of the hour, we will talk with Jake Crane of Crane & Company, And I'm sure we'll get into the transfer portal and much more with him. But sort of off the topic, as we were going to the break, we were talking, and Dan was telling me there's an update today. I had seen a story, I guess a week or more ago, about the situation with Tybo Rogers, who was held out of the Pac-12 championship game, but then played in the college football playoffs, played in the Sugar Bowl, played in the championship game. But there is new news, I guess, just today from the Seattle Times.
Yeah, in the last day or so, Caitlin Freeman wrote a piece for SeattleTimes.com that you should check out. It talks about the allegations into Tybo Rogers, the former Washington running back who is accused of a sexual assault of two area college students. This happened during the fall. The controversy now would be sort of who knew what at the University of Washington. Reading from the article,
and yep. you have a lot more information than anyone. I mean, now it's than there was when the first stories came.
Yes.
Out.
So reading from the article, Seattle police suggest that members of University of Washington's athletic department knew about and discussed allegations against Tybo Rogers before allowing the running back to continue playing in the fall, according to a document detailing the agency's investigation into Rogers. The document released Monday through a public disclosure request points to emails sent within UW's athletic department. The timeline suggests that there was communication within the athletic department about the allegations against Rogers.
I'd say it more than suggests that when you read these.
Right, when the there was a there's a screenshot. I guess this was an information request led to these documents. I want to figure out get the exact quote here. So there were investigators also pointed a text message involving the staff that referenced the allegations against Rogers sent within 2 weeks of social media posts and a Title IX report filed by one of Rogers' victims. There's a screenshot from the director of football player development texting Kalen DeBoer. Asking about guidance and what to do if these allegations come up publicly.
I think you can read that.
I mean, it's what?
Is it just the letters?
Yeah, I still want to be. I want to be careful here.
Okay.
What did Tybo do? Is paraphrasing?
Well, you can do the emphatically the emphatics at the very beginning and just do the rest.
Yeah. So he's asking, what did Tybo do? And there's parentheticals there. But there's I got people blowing me up about it. I won't say anything if you don't want me to. But obviously, I was just on ESPN radio and someone brought it up. Unquote.
And that is to Kalen DeBoer.
That was a text message sent to Kalen DeBoer.
So Kalen DeBoer is asked, what did Tybo Rogers do? And he is saying, the director of football operations is saying to Kalen DeBoer, I won't talk about it if you don't want me to.
Yeah, this is from, these are text messages from December 6th, again, according to this Seattle Times report.
So that is the day after, isn't it? The day after the championship game?
Yes. And then Ryan Grubb was the offensive coordinator at the time, and he made reference to off the field challenges that Rogers was facing, but didn't want to go into more detail. So there's and then I guess complicating matters is the fact that Kalen DeBoer, since this happened, has now taken the job at the University of Alabama. Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, who was also named in this report, and as I just said, he gave an answer to an interview referencing Tybo Rogers having off the field issues without going into more detail. He is now the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, and the athletic director at Washington is now the athletic director at Nebraska. So it's making it tougher I don't know if anybody involved is eager to necessarily talk about this. The player in question, Tybo Rogers, is suspended indefinitely. The new head coach, Jed Fish, suspended Rogers indefinitely as soon as he heard about the allegations. Didn't want to go into much detail, but said couldn't speak to the reasons that Rogers was allowed to play before Fish arrived.
Yeah, so I mean, the stories that had come out last week did not have these emails, and the response at the time was they had checked on the allegations and didn't feel there was anything to them, and that's why he played.
Is that
doesn't seem to follow now.
Is this something that you think could follow Kalen DeBoer?
Absolutely. I feel it could follow Kalen DeBoer.
If Kalen DeBoer allowed, like if Kalen DeBoer knew about serious sexual assault allegations against a player and allowed that player to play in the college football playoff semifinal and championship game, that's something
that is a big something.
Yeah, I mean, I think even though Kalen DeBoer's in a new job, like I think that's something that could, you know, there could be the ramifications. That's something that, you know, there could be fallout from
Let's just wait and see if there is reaction the way there was when Hugh Freeze was hired at Auburn, when DJ Durkin was brought to Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even necessarily willing to draw like a one-to-one comparison.
No, I'm just wondering. I mean, but there were definitely people very quick to jump on both of those,
right,
and go, how could this happen? And that's not saying, I mean, we don't know the outcome of this, and if there was, you know, how much knowledge there was of anything, but it does seem like there were some questions about, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I want to be super careful here. Where it seems like I guess there's a chance that folks stayed insulated enough from the nuts and bolts that they didn't know, what the player was accused of. Although it did go public with mm-hmm. social media posts and things as well. But I wonder if with DeBoer and Grubbs and the athletic director all having taken new jobs, like I wonder if this thing can follow them to their, if it will follow them.
Hard to imagine that it wouldn't.
To their new places, yeah. And it's going to take folks at Alabama, and it's going to take folks at Nebraska speaking out and wanting answers. It's an interesting story that feels like it could get messier for all parties involved.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. As we said, quite a few things going on with the transfer portal. It looks like, and I don't know that we even got into this, did we? I mean, I teased it a while ago. A player that we talked about a couple of days ago. Well, maybe it was just yesterday. Were we talking about Duke Miles yesterday, or was it Friday?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Former Trojan. Jason Caldwell reporting that Duke Miles, the former Troy and High Point guard, is now expected to visit Auburn next week. And, you know, he's a player that was an outstanding high school player, played in the Alabama-Mississippi High School All-Star Game, led Lee to the state title before he headed to Troy. And then this past year at High Point, averaged better than 17 points a game. Here's an interesting stat. He's a guy that'll take it to the rim. When you're looking for a guard that can do that, Duke Miles is indeed one. He led his league in field goal percentage as a point guard.
And did not take very many threes.
Over 53%. 53% shooter. He had a pretty good percentage, but he just didn't take a ton of threes.
And High Point runs a very modern, like it's threes and shots in the paint. They're not really a big mid-range team, and so that's it sets up an effective point guard to have a great field goal percentage if he's working on good shots. But Duke has improved pretty much every year as a college basketball player, and he makes sense as a bench piece if Auburn's going to take someone with 1 year left of college basketball, somebody who would be really eager for the opportunity, even to be a reserve. You know, the thought that this guy could step in and provide quality minutes at the one and the two off the bench and play, you know, as part of a, you know, be part of a really special season in his last year of college basketball, playing for a team close to home. I think it'd be a really cool way for the Duke Miles story to end if he gets to be part of the Auburn Tigers.
He shot 36% from three this year, 80% at the free throw line, 53% overall.
You got his numbers his last year at Troy?
Yes, I do. He played six games.
Okay, so the year before, I think it was maybe the year before that. Even.
His freshman year, 26 games at Troy, he averaged 8.6 points. 3.5 assists, playing 24 minutes a game, 45% from the floor, 18% three-point shooter.
And if you
a 73% free throw shooter.
And if you haven't watched much Troy men's basketball these last couple of years, Scott Cross runs a very aggressive, pressing, defensive system. So I think that there would also be, you know, someone with Troy lineage would be attractive to Bruce because they're familiar with playing the kind of defense Bruce wants.
Yeah, he averaged right at 2 steals a game. His sophomore year, 17 games, averaged 8.4 points, 2.8 assists, upped his shooting percentage. His three-point shooting percentage went to 31%, shot 77% at the free throw line. Then his junior year at Troy, played just 6 games, but in those 6 games, averaged 14 points, 47% three-point shooter, and then to high point this past year, 33 games, 30.5 minutes a game, 17.5 points, 3.6 assists, 2.4 rebounds, 80% free throws, 36% threes, 53% from the floor.
Oh, I think Duke Miles would be a really intriguing pickup if Auburn can make that happen.
By the way, he's a 6'3".
Yeah, I mean, he's a quality guard, battle tested, and would be excited to return home to the Southeast and get a chance in the SEC.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls, and we will head to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. As usual, glad to join you guys.
Yep. Well, this is a time, man, it is crazy. Not too long ago, this time of year, we might have been struggling for some things to keep up with, to really be talking about, because, you know, spring practice is over, basketball season's been over, but here we go a-portaling.
We haven't really done much draft talk compared to other years this year, even though it's an interesting draft, there's not a ton of Auburn, aside from Bo Nix, there's not a ton of Auburn, Auburn-adjacent players at the very top of a lot of these draft boards. We'll get some draft talk in there as well. Bill's absolutely right. Like, it is, the portal is whirring right now between football and then the big
football
names.
And basketball.
And the big names you're seeing make the jump in basketball too.
No, I mean, I think one of the reasons the draft talk hasn't been the only thing people are talking about is because of the transfer portal. Now, I will say, and I said this before this window opened, this is going to be, and a lot of, I'm guessing a lot of the audience will understand this, this will be the Czech coda, cola or Czech soda of the transfer portal season, because again, if everything went great in the spring, you're probably not hopping into the transfer portal. So while there'll be some big names on the football front, you're not going to get nearly the volume of big time names or the volume of players that you're going to get right after the season. But it's still interesting. You can add pieces. Auburn added those 3 key pieces yesterday. But in basketball, it's high flying. I mean, it's absolutely crazy right now. It's kind of like the end of the football season version of the basketball portal. And Auburn, I like what they've added. It's been interesting to see where a couple of these other guys have ended up. But, no, it's full bore right now, fellas.
Oh, yeah. Let's stick with basketball. I'd love to get your take on the Aiden Holloway to Alabama. That's obviously something that has more than stirred social media a bit.
Well, I hope he shoots it 35 times a game the way it went this year, and unless something changes. It's a new era. It's weird to see. You know, it's one thing to break up. It's another thing to break up, and then you go with the person next door to where you used to live. It's kind of a weird dynamic, but at the end of the day, I like what Auburn's added. I like what Auburn's returned. I mean, you get Janai Broome, you get Cardwell, you get Chaney Johnson, you get Chad Baker, you get Denver. You add Pegues, and they're still adding pieces, obviously, around him as well. I think this Auburn team, with a couple roster spots left, has a chance to really be upset about the way last year ended, and I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off or any sort of huge missing piece now that Aiden Holloway's gone. I mean, I think Trey Donaldson leaving hurts worse than that.
Well, from a basketball standpoint, what do you think Alabama is getting in Aiden Holloway after the year he just had at Auburn?
Well, look, I mean, I'm not saying you can't get better. We've seen it multiple times. I think he fits the system very well. It's just he's going to have to shoot at a much higher percentage because defensively he's just not built to be a great defender. And Alabama, where did they struggle last year when they struggled? I know they made it to the Final Four, but it was on the defensive end most nights. I don't think he adds some sort of defensive piece, and he's not a big guy there. So, look, they bring back Reitzel, who's also not huge. But if he can, you know, fix his shooting, he can be deadly from the perimeter. I just don't know if he's going to be some sort of wonder kid for Alabama that's going to help them get back to the Final Four. Yeah. I'm not crying over spilt milk
Oates tends not to leave guys out there if they're missing a ton of shots, right? They have too many other options, you know, on that Alabama team to let a guy just jack it up at a poor percentage. And if they bring back Sears on top of retaining Reitzel, and I like the young blood pickup from South Florida. I remember that guy from Kennesaw State. Like that is a nice pickup for an SEC team trying to win right now. I wonder if Holloway, you know, it's a really talented team, but maybe a team that gives him a chance to spend a year developing. Because I wonder,
where is he going to get his minutes this year?
I wonder how many minutes.
Or do they know that Mark Sears isn't coming back?
You know, I have a feeling Sears is going to come back for year 42 in college.
Yeah, I do too.
He's been there that long. But, no, if he does, like, you're not playing in front of him. Like, I don't think you can have Sears and Aiden Holloway out there at the one and the two. Defensively, I mean, you're going to get run over. You don't have to be a scientist to figure out that disadvantage you have from a size standpoint, from a rebounding standpoint. So, look, good luck to you, man. Like, if you figure it out, great. But I'm just looking around. I'm like, you know, there's some guys that are ahead. He's lucky Ryland Griffin left.
Yeah, when you're looking at trying to get some playing time, you know, back to the situation at Auburn, and Bruce Pearl talked about it this year. Hey, you want to be old. Well, Auburn, I can't imagine a team that was going to have more guys in their final year of eligibility than Auburn this year. And it looks like, hey, they're bringing in a point guard from High Point who will be heading into his final year as well for a visit to try to give them, somebody else along with J.P. Pegues. So, I mean, they could have as many as 8 players that are going to be in their final year. So they are all, I mean, I guess that's spelled A-U-all, A-U-L for all in on this year. And that's what, why do you worry about 2 years from now?
Well, look, I mean, with the transfer portal and the roster size being so small in basketball, I think you can get away with more things. But, I mean, you look at who Auburn's bringing in. Pettiford's going to be – I think he's going to be nasty at the two. I mean, this is a legitimate scorer of the basketball, whether that's driving, slashing, shooting. He's just a creator. He's an artist. He's you know, a painter with the ball. Then I think Ja'Kai Howard, I mean, you look at him coming in athletically – he's as good as you're going to get. He just won the MVP for the Overtime Elite League. So they're bringing in some good young talent as well. But I love being old. I want it to be like a meeting with the elders every time we show up for a game. And this team is going to be angry about the way that last year ended. Do not forget about that. That's a big angle going into the tournament next year.
Yeah, a middle-aged front court, right, or a middle-aged back court is luxury.
Let's be old as possible.
Yeah, no, and that's,
yeah, I want it to be an AARP meeting.
Yeah, and that's not to say, like, I get why people are excited about Tahad Pettiford and Ja'Kai Howard, but it feels like an era where it's harder than ever before for freshmen to step in and make an impact in college basketball because
guys are playing for 20 years.
Yeah,
man.
You're playing more fourth and fifth year guys than ever before, and it's that's a tough adjustment to make. We saw some really talented freshmen this past year who were uneven at times, the very best freshmen in college basketball. So yeah, I think I'm curious to see what kind of impact Pettiford and Howard can make on such a veteran team in an era of college basketball where it's tough to break through as a kid.
No, without a doubt, and obviously it's a new era with the way that eligibility is handled, even though the COVID year stuff is going to go away. No, look, it's never easy to be really good as a freshman. You're going to go through ups and downs in pretty much every sport. But, I mean, you look at the parity amongst college basketball that we've seen. I know UConn, it was kind of chalky in the Final Four, and we all knew UConn was the best team at the end of the day. But, you know, you look around the whole league, every single team, I mean, I think it was about as even as I can remember it. I mean, there was a 5-6 week stretch where number one teams were losing left and right.
Yeah, and that was the – I mean, one of the better freshmen in the whole country was playing for that UConn team, right? And Castle, a guy that Auburn was in on and who's going
and,
to be.
I mean, look what he was surrounded by, right? I mean, if you're going to have a freshman out there, it's nice to be able to surround him with experienced guys. So if you're a Pettiford coming in, you walk in the room, you look around. I mean, you're the youngest guy at the nursing home by like 20 years.
One of the most shocking things, Jake, about what Coach Pearl and the team have been able to do so far in assembling this roster is you look in – like there are still teams in the SEC that are just getting started with roster construction, right? I mean, Bill was asking me earlier, like, does Kentucky have a player committed right now? I mean, Arkansas is, I trust John Calipari to find guys, but it's, I mean, there are places, very close to starting over while Bruce Pearl has his roster all but set for next year.
Yeah, well, look, it just shows you kind of a difference of where you're at from a roster standpoint, and that fluctuates. I don't think we talk about roster management and roster structure enough, even before the transfer portal got opened the way it did. But, guys, remember last year when Matt McMahon took over at LSU, there was no players on the team. Like, he literally had to build the whole team from scratch. I mean, John Calipari, after his first team meeting, came in there and said, guys, listen, I just talked to like two people. Like, we didn't even have a team yet. So that's part of the new world we live in, right, with not only the ability to go one and done to the NBA, but also now the ability to just leave really during either window at any point for any reason. It's changed the way that you can build your roster. And I think guys are now deciding, do I lean heavily on the transfer portal to be able to just Frankenstein a team every year, or do I try and mix development with transfer portal, or do I just hope I get guys to stick around a long time? I think the answer is a mixture of both, and that's why I think you're seeing the results at Auburn heading into next year with a lot of confidence.
Talking with Jake Crane of Crane and Company here on the Tuesday Drive to the football portal. As you mentioned, Auburn picking up three literally and figuratively big additions yesterday, helping that defensive front, which needed depth. There's no question about that. I like all three of those guys. Today, they lose a couple of young cornerbacks. Colton Hood was one of the main guys that was talked about all spring. Apparently, a very good ball hawk. There's some rumblings that he could be headed to Colorado. But with Colton Hood and Tyler Scott going into the portal, looks like Auburn's going to need to try to add some more numbers back there on the back end of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, the portal giveth, the portal taketh away. But if the portal's going to giveth, I'll take the linemen. If it's going to taketh away, I'll take the skill position guys outside of quarterback. So that's a trade that I think you can live with. Look, getting those three guys yesterday, it's huge, not only because you got three good players, but look at what positions they play. One's pretty much a true nose or a shade. One's pretty much a three tech who you can bump over to shade in pass rushing packages or if you need him for emergencies. And the other is a really good pass rusher that can also turn speed to power, and he's good enough to be able to stop the run. And they all have experience. What that does is it creates the ability for Jason Jones and Falk and McLeod to be able to empty the tank even more because they know somebody's behind them or somebody that can spell them or somebody that can go in there and make a play, and they're not afraid to say, listen, I do need a play. It's about depth. It is a battle of attrition, and, shout out to Coach Aldridge, shout out to Coach Williams, Coach Freeze, the whole coaching staff. I think this team Auburn is putting together is going to be better up front, and I think you're going to see that pay dividends. And Auburn's going to be able to line up and get more third and twos and just run it down people's throat a little more than what people think.
You're just so
– and stop the run.
You're so far behind going into a season if you're thin on the defensive line, right? Like
you're basically dead.
Everything else has to go so well. And, I mean, I think about that – I think it was Harsin's last year at Auburn when you had Colby Wooden and Marcus Harris and maybe somebody else too that were playing – 60, like a lot of snaps for a defensive lineman every single game with no rotation, and you can't expect a high standard in the second half, especially, trying to go that way. And DJ Durkin rotates his defensive lineman pretty effectively as a coach. I would expect Auburn to have a pretty big rotation of guys going into this season.
Yeah, well, being able to have a legit rotation is a privilege. I mean, you put the minds together of DJ Durkin and Charles Kelly and these other coaches that Auburn has on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm not worried about what you're going to get schematically. I mean, guys, just think about last year. how many games could Auburn have won if they could have actually gotten to the quarterback and gotten the quarterback down more consistently
yeah,
on
no
third
kidding.
And long?
Auburn they were so close.
Third and long.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, I thought Ron Roberts did a pretty good job of putting guys in position, right? And he had to get exotic sometimes. But if you don't have the guys up front, if you can't get the quarterback off his spot on obvious passing downs, you're just not going to win. You're not going to win. You're going to have to catch all the breaks to have a chance to win. So that's the thing that I would get the most excited about. Because, again, just think about it. You can hide an average secondary, not saying that Auburn is going to be average, but you can hide an average secondary with a really good front seven, right? You can't hide a really good secondary with an average front seven. It don't work like that.
Jake, before we let you go, seeing some rumbling about something that I know Dan's talked about for a long time. We have been big fans of. That's a possibility of a group of five playoff.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
I think it would be fantastic. I think it would give them a legitimate chance to win a national championship. I think it's something that, you know, I've talked to coaches in the group of five, and it's almost split. Like half of them say, no, I don't want that. The other half say, I do want that. My question becomes, if they do, you know, do this and go to this playoff, then the split is happening, right? Then you're going to have that Power Five and group of five split. Then you got to ask yourself, well, does that mean that the group of five is going to play the Power Five anymore than the regular season? But if that happens, I'm still fine with it. We'll just get better games. We'll get more of them. It'll be harder, but you'll get better games as a fan. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I understand the downside of it. You know, if it's you know, especially if it involves, you know, the financial, you know, implications of do you stop getting money from the college football playoff if you have your own playoff, and because that's an important decision to make, you know, the behind the scenes stuff as a consumer, as a fan, as someone who follows the sport, I think it'd be great. You know, I think it'd set up far better than the bowl games that group of five champions are playing in right now. Like to have a playoff and a champion in a format like that, I think it would be much better. I just wonder if some of the roadblocks will be too much to overcome.
Well, that's what it always comes down to, right? I mean, we've had a bunch of good ideas. The problem is being able to get them passed. That's what seems to always be the holdup. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be what's best for both parties, and I think there's a good chance that we see it.
Man, I hope so. I'd really love to. Jake, tell everybody what's going on at Crane and Company, what you got coming up, and make sure folks know exactly, you know, when and where.
Oh, well, we're talking everything college football, NFL draft. College basketball, we do live calls, have a live chat. It's easy. If you watch your shows, just go to YouTube. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N-N Company. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, if you listen, it's the same thing. So, yeah, come hang out with us, man. We're going to live stream the first round of the draft on Thursday, so excited about that.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool.
Yep. Hey, thanks again. Always great stuff. Great talking
Always,
to you, Jake.
Guys.
Have a great week, man.
See you, Jake.
Appreciate it, guys.
Jake Crane & Company, joining us as he does Tuesdays here in the second hour. We'll get to our final break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
It's a Phil Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday. And as we head toward the top of the hour, some breaking news that has me really, really interested as to what is the rest of this story.
Yeah,
Dan.
Paul Harvey, right? We need
yeah.
to know, we want to know the rest of the story here. Well, there is a statement from Texas A&M Athletic Director Trev Alberts acknowledging layoffs in the athletic department.
Yeah, their new AD hasn't been there very long.
No, he hasn't. And
he is making some changes.
News coming out that A&M is laying off more than a dozen senior staff members in the athletic department, including deputy athletics directors, the
athletic director for equipment.
Athletic director for equipment and apparel, who had been in the Aggie equipment room for over 34 years. And there is Alberts said that it was not related to the buyout that Jimbo Fisher paid was paid by Texas A&M.
Really, this is really interesting. What is the reasoning behind this? Is it just did he just feel like, hey, there were too many folks that had been there and been promoted and given titles and didn't really have you know, duties that were needed, or what?
Now,
I mean,
now Fisher was paid $19 million within 60 days of his termination. Another $7 million was paid within 120 days of his firing. The remainder of that buyout will be paid in equal annual payments through 2031. So A&M will be paying.
But they said this is not budgetary.
This is not that. This has to do with, and he made reference to.
This is what's crazy.
You're talking about the threats to the.
Yes. Threats to their business
new
model?
Texas A&M athletic director Trev Alberts told the Eagle that the layoffs were not related to budgetary concerns regarding former head coach Jimbo Fisher's buyout, but, quote, reorganization related to existing and emerging threats to our business model,
to their business
unquote.
Model. That is. That's
is that how about
that's
this?
That's what's really confusing right now. I want to know more about
and
that.
And we'll talk to Jason Caldwell tomorrow about this and other things.
Yeah, Jason will be in. By the way, Auburn baseball wins 11-1 run ruling Florida A&M, a combined two hitter.
If you're an athletic department, do you start clearing salary with the thinking
maybe
student athletes are going to be on the payroll soon? And
yeah, maybe that would create that possibility. It would open up the...
That's a threat to the business model.
Yeah, it definitely is. If you're going to have to start paying players, you're not going to be paying some of those senior staffers. Wow. All right, hey, we're out of time. Fun show today. We're back tomorrow. Jason Caldwell does join us. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.